Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, the place for blade lovers to learn about knives and hear from the makers, manufacturers, and reviewers that make the knife world go round. I'm Bob DeMarco, and coming up, a new looker from Urban EDC and JRP Knives, the Kaiser Begleiter XL joins the collection, and 10 great folders for first-timers.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
My favorite comment from this past week was from our good friend JC from the Knives Fast channel, and of course, Tempest Knives, by the way, the pinion is fully funded, so mine will be on the way at some point. He says, this was on last week's Dan Eastland of Dogwood Knives interview. He said, well, after watching this, I wish I had gone by Dan's table at Blade Show. Seems like a fascinating and really cool guy. This is one of my favorite podcasts you've done. Love the perspective that he comes at his knives with. Thanks for the content, Bob, says Casey. A couple of things here. First of all, he says, I love the perspective. And by the way, Dan Eastland is also co-host of Knife Perspective podcast. So kind of interesting choice of words Casey used there. But I also love this comment reflects kind of the main mission of this show. As I discover makers and people that I really like and think you all would like, it's my pleasure to expose you to different people and to learn about them as I'm learning about them. So mission accomplished there. So I really appreciate the comment, Casey, and I appreciate all of your comments. Okay, so let's do a pocket check for this week and for the day. Today I'm still on my automatic knives high. It's still fresh. It still feels fresh that I can carry this around. I still have a bunch of other automatics I'd like to get, but the inaugural legal automatic in my collection, the Heretic Manticore XL. And as I have this one, when I first got this, I was a little put off by the rattle, but in carrying the rest of my automatics, most out the fronts have it. I do not have a G&G Hawk. So all of my out the fronts have rattle, and I've gotten used to it. It is somewhat, somewhat loud because this is a somewhat large knife, but, I've gotten over that because really I'm not doing too much knife fighting with this. And if I were, the sound it was making as I wing this through the air, would be the last of my concerns. So I really got this for the blade. I am a sucker for a recurve, and this reminds me a little bit of a Walter Brend fixed blade. And, until I can afford a Walter Brend fixed blade, this will have to do. But I love the actuation. It feels really good. It comes out easy. I know that slider is on ball bearings. They do something a little bit different, I think, than father company Microtech. Not that it's actually the father company, but, Anthony Marfioni Jr., I believe, started Heretic. And with his father's, you know what? There was a bit of friction there, but I think now they're all good. I don't know. There's a bit of knife drama there, and it's hard to get to. I would like to have the Marfionis on the show, but it's hard to get. Anyway, so that's the Manticore X. It's been a pleasure to carry. By the way, it's got a great glass breaker because it is there. It is present in the form of a little ball bearing of some sort. I'm not sure what material it is. But you can cap it with your thumb really easily. It feels fine. It does not hurt or poke at all. So very nice setup there with the glass breaker. Okay, next up today's carry. I had my 71 Sodbuster from Great Eastern Cutlery. And this is a knife I have not carried in quite a while. But with the announcement of the new GEC Sodbuster, yes, that's right, it's a two-layer Sodbuster with a cap lifter in there. And I'd love to have it, but you know what? I'm not really into collecting GECs that much anymore. I mean, not that I've stopped officially, but, you know, I just miss drops, and I'm not sitting there hitting refresh. And I have been out of the slip joint phase for a long time. Actually, Ben Belkin and Jack Wolf Knives has brought me headlong back into slip joints, and this is one of my favorites. It's so light, and I don't think I would like the Sodbuster as much. This is already a chunky knife. This is like this is more than a half inch thick. This is already a chunky knife. Feels very good in hand. It's light because of the micarta, but another layer and another spring in there, I just feel like you know, for my practical purposes, it would be a little bit too much. But have the little leather fob on there, meaning it's mine forever. And of course, a nice patina on there. I come in and out of patinas on my GECs. I'll put them on usually through, I'll use them at mealtime. I love cutting meat with them because meat gives them great patinas. And then eventually I'll get sick of it and I'll polish it off. Lastly today, for emotional support, I had the Concept Pelican by K. Max Rom, French designer, who many of his knives had that signature thumb swale with the double peaks on the spine. That is what drew me into his custom knives on Instagram years back. And then he started doing these licensed designs with first with Kaiser and then with Concept. Love his designs. And man, I am such a huge fan of Concept knives, gotta say. And I've been loving Kaiser the past year also. But for me, really, I've been getting the biggest kick out of the Vanguard series. I like the sort of less premium, less like not titanium, the more micarta stuff. You know what I'm saying? The micarta and N690 or 14C kind of Kaisers. Great action, great designs, light, you know, great for fidget, great for cutting, a little caveman there came out. But just awesome knives. I had a whole bunch of Kaisers and from their premium line when they sort of first came out with the Matt Cucciara, the big Matt Cucciara titanium knives, man. I wish I didn't get rid of those big hollow ground recurve. I can't remember what it was called, the big dog or something. Big hollow ground recurve Bowie blade, over 4 inches on bearings, contoured titanium, beautiful stuff. I got rid of all of that in pursuit of other knives and have been slowly getting back into Kaiser with their recent offerings. You'll see more of it today. So that's what I was carrying. In backwards order, the emotional support knife of the day was the Concept Pelican. Awesome little knife. This also comes in a sheep's foot. Stylized, of course. Had the GEC 71. Look for the Sudbuster coming to a knife purveyor near you. And the Manticore. And by the way, I like this bent clip. It's a lot less committal than some of the others. The others are very sculptural and with ball bearings and all that. And that's not my thing. I like just a simple bent clip most of the time. Okay, so coming up on the Knife Junkie Podcast, we're going to take a look at a new knife from Urban EDC. They always have really cool collaboration knives. I have yet to get one, but I need to figure that out. We'll take a look at the last Civivi of July. We've seen a few reviews on this now. And then we'll take a look at my state of the collection. And then, of course, 10 best knives that you can get as a gift to a 100% newbie.
If you're a knife junkie, you're always in the market for a new knife, and we've got you covered. For the latest weekly knife deals, be sure to visit theknifejunkie.com/knives. Through our special affiliate relationships, we bring you weekly knife specials on your favorite knives. Help support the show and save money on a new knife. Shop at theknifejunkie.com/knives. That's theknifejunkie.com/knives.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
Urban EDC, known for their awesome collaboration knives with custom makers and designers, have a new one out with Jared Price of JRP Knives. I've been following him for a long time on Instagram. I like JRP Knives. And this new one called the Micro, is it Micro or Mini Shrike? I'm sorry, I gotta look up my... Yeah, the Micro Shrike. It's not so micro. It's just sub 3 inches in blade length. But this new one out, man, is it beautiful. I'm very grateful that it's below my wheelhouse size, because this that style clip point blade with that beautiful swedge and its hollow ground, I find it really beautiful. And if it were a full size knife, this coming in at 2.86, I believe. If it were full size, I would be so tempted. And the Urban EDC knives are exclusive. They don't make many of them. They're high end and they're with designers. So they're not inexpensive. And I would be moved to buy this. I find that blade shape so compelling. It reminds me a bit of, I'm going back here, the Combative Edge SR1. Is it SR1? No. That first Combative Edge knife, I have it in my, I should have pulled it out, minus the recurve, that whole setup with the short clip and the long swedge, very reminiscent of that knife. But a beautiful handle, looks quite neutral, comes in two flavors of micarta, and then, of course, contoured titanium, and coming soon. Go check out Urban EDC Supply. Very, very cool knife, man. And while you're there, also, check out the Nessie. That's another cool one. Reminds me a bit of a knife we're going to take a look at in a minute in the state of the collection. You'll know which one I'm talking about when we get to it. Okay, next up, the Cetos from Civivi is now out, and it was the last a release of July, and we got a chance to take a look at it through a number of different reviews online, and reviews are a little mixed, and I'm not surprised, and the reason is, I think, that steel lock bar. Some people have trouble getting around the fact that it's a steel frame lock, but I think we have to get this one to check out here. I've had a number of steel lock bars come through here. I had the Boker Lateralis, another, man, every knife I bring up that I've traded or sold, I regret. But another knife I wish I still had, very light and very smooth frame lock flipper of titanium from Boker. Of steel. And it was so nicely milled and hollowed out, it felt like titanium. So I want to see how this Cetos does. But I wanted to re-mention this. We brought this up last week, and I just wanted to mention that. Now that it's out, there are a number of reviews out there. People have snatched it up. I think that the general consensus is people love the look of it, and people like the blade, but it's close enough to a number of other knives, and that's a good excuse not to go for the steel lock bar. I that's just the feeling I get. But we shall see. I think this demands investigation from the Knife Junkie Podcast. So I think we'll be getting this one in to take a look. All right, still to come on the Knife Junkie Podcast, let's take a look at three new knives in my collection and 10 folders great as gifts for first-time knife owners.
And now that we're caught up with Knife Life news, let's hear more of the Knife Junkie Podcast.
So I was talking about my Concept Pelican before and how much I like the brand and how I've noticed my little sub collection has begun to swell. And by that, I mean, I think I have now 5 concepts. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe that means I'm going all in. I really like the builds of them. I love the designs, and they are addictive in their action and usage. Great blade geometry on these also. I'm finding they're very useful, aside from just being, very appealing and compelling. Okay, so here we have Natural Tan Canvas Micarta. This is the Bulldozer, and this is the Bulldozer D2 version. So this is the high-value version, and then there is a titanium version. Titanium is a frame lock with contoured handle scales, and you can get it in a number of different very high-end versions. But this D2 version is all I need. I had seen this on a number of different channels and saw this on Blade HQ in a number of places lurking around, and I just felt like I had to get this. It reminds me a little bit of a Dao blade, and it's got that long neutral handle. It took me a little bit to the place where the Sencut Bronte takes me, and I just had to have it. Also, front flipper. I am getting more and more into front flippers, and I feel like I think two things can be true at once. I think I'm getting more comfortable actuating a wide range of different types in different ways. Like, I'm getting better at this four-finger style, but definitely not with my left hand. So not only am I getting better at using them and more comfortable with a wide range of designs of front flipper, but I feel like manufacturers and designers are getting a better hang of it. So that's a great thing to be happening all at once. This D2 blade is fully flat ground. That's about an inch and an inch and a quarter, maybe at the widest, inch and 3/32 at the widest, and fully flat ground. It comes to a thin edge. This is a great work knife. You say, yeah, but I don't see any marks on it. I have actually not cut anything but paper with this. So that is the caveat. Now, That being said, this and two other knives in the state of the collection, which you will be seeing in a minute, are going to be running the paces by weekend because we're having two bathrooms redone, and we had to get some medicine cabinets and some ancillary stuff from IKEA. Yes. Every time I mention it, I hear from Jim. He's like, "You guys go there like every weekend?" And no, it seems like we do because I think I complain about it a lot or mention it a lot because so much cardboard comes from that place. And what a great opportunity to test out new knives. So this one is going to go. This one is going to be tested on a bunch of cardboard this coming weekend, and I think it's going to do great. I think that handle is so nicely neutral, and the micarta is very, very comfortable. I just feel like this thing is going to go all day long through cardboard, and that this blade is going to do really nicely. And I've seen test footage on other people's videos, and if there's no camera trickery involved, I have no doubt this is going to be awesome. So I look forward to using this one. And the patina on the micarta is already starting to happen. You can see that around the clip, and I like it. What can I say? I love micarta. I'm a micarta nerd. Speaking of micarta nerd, next up is also in micarta, and this is the new White Mountain Knives exclusive Big Lighter XL with the red micarta. Okay, so they came out with the first run of these the beginning of the year, and they were in canvas, tan canvas micarta, very similar to this. And they sold like hotcakes, and I sat on it, and but I got a loaner from Dave and really liked it and then wanted to buy one, and they were all gone. So waited around knowing they'd come back because people just went bonkers for these. And I saw that they had them in red linen micarta. I love linen micarta because of that, the fine fibers and the tight weave. Feels really good in hand. But they also came out with the canvas tan and then white, I think, and black G10, a couple of different models of this. But that's a 4-inch blade. That's, what is this? 14? I'm sorry. 154 cm. I couldn't remember what the blade steel was. 154 cm. Beautiful blade shape. I love that. Almost a spear point. Just a beautiful blade shape with that swedge. Actually, when I looked at it initially, I thought, oh, that's rather vanilla, but it looks useful. Now that I have it, and it's a very beautiful blade. I think it's just a beautiful and simple shape. And I think they did it just perfectly. It's got all the right proportions visually. But cutting, this thing is wicked. And I love 154. I know I talk about it a lot. It's a simple man's steel. It's a working man's steel. I don't need much, you know what I mean, to cut that thread off my collar. but I love 154, and it sharpens easily, and it makes me feel like a good sharpener. And that's good for my ego, so I go with that. But this button lock is super smooth. There's a little bit of button lock stick, which is also present on my Cogent from Civivi. These are my only two button locks at the moment. Besides automatics, which I'm not counting here. Just great addictive action. It's on bearings. Nice size. I love this. This is a really good big knife. If you are a folder guy or gal and you have smaller knives and you want a larger, you know, a knife in the 4-inch range like this, I think this is a really good one. It's nicely lightened. If you look at those steel liners, it's nicely lightened, but it has a nice heft to it. It's not heavy, but it feels very solid. But it's also got that really nice action because the length of the blade adds a little bit of weight, and that weight adds, you know, momentum. Not a physicist, but it does give a better action to that knife, and I highly recommend it. Go to White Mountain Knives and check it out. Yeah. Do it now. Do it today. Oh, actually, we have a White Mountain Knives discount code. Sorry, Jim. I should have mentioned that. I have forgotten about that. And frankly, I got to push that. I got to start getting more stuff from White Mountain Knives. They have such a great selection, and it's a cool little operation. And why am I not pushing it? I'm saying it out here publicly. That means I got to do it. All right. Next up in the state of the collection, this one was sent to me by the company, and I'm glad they did. They've sent me two other knives in the past, and I absolutely love them. One of them was the Bellamy, the folder with M390 and carbon fiber for a mere like 135 or something like that. A great, great folder. One of the best I've gotten this year. And then they also sent me the Morgan 8-inch chef's knife, which is my wife's favorite knife now, and probably that's my go-to now too. It's so much thinner than my Trident, for instance, which is a great knife. But yeah, anyway, so this one is the Nightshade, and this is their new version of it. They first came out with the Nightshade in, it had like brass bolsters and micarta, and I think M390 blade steel. This is 154 cm and Contour G10, and I think this is made by Kaiser. I think, pretty sure. In my research, I have come down to the fact that this is made by Kaiser, and it feels like a, what do you call it? A Vanguard line knife. Yes, you can quote me on that, and then if I'm wrong, I'll do a retraction. I love this knife. I thought when I first saw it on YouTube, I thought, wow, man, that's bold. You know, that's an interesting design choice. I wonder how that's going to go over. I love it. I love a downward angled blade like that. And I love that barong shaped blade. This to me is like a barong. The barong is this sword hanging on the wall right here. It's a big, fat leaf shaped blade. Looks just kind of like this. And though barongs usually have a straight angle off of the handle, the curvature of the blade gives it that recurve, that sort of downward kukri feel. A, and B, most Filipino style knives and swords, of which there are many, 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 have that downward angle. It just accelerates the cut. And it also means that on a thrust, you don't have to cant your wrist as far down to get the point where you want it to be. Sort of like a pistol grip. So anyway, that's what this is. This is not meant to be a self-defense knife. This is meant to be an EDC, and it's an awesome EDC knife. But I submit this would make an outstanding self-defense knife, because you've got an accelerated slash without anything. Look at the angle down. It's like a little kukri, but the point is right where you can flip your hand, and any way you flip your hand, your point is going right down the center. Because of the angle of your wrist. Your hand does not come straight off your forearm. There's an angle there because you have a wrist and a hand and all that. Anyway, I think you get the point. And all of that, of course, I'm approaching it from that, wow, it looks like a great weapon, thing, just because that's where my imagination goes. But in terms of, I was talking about the boxes, you can see I've already put this to use. This glides through material. Not only because of that downward angle and that extreme belly and that super thin cutting geometry, because this is a thin blade steel and a wide, fully flat ground blade, but because of the 154 cm just keeps going and going. I did quite a few. I did all the boxes yesterday in this, and by all the boxes I mean the Gott Morgan. We got two Gott Morgans. That's a medicine cabinet. And then we got some mirror called I don't even remember, something Swedish. And this took care of all of those, opening them and sectioning them. And then the test will be with this and the bulldozer, just cutting them down so I can get them in the recycling. I thank you, Vosteed, and Corinne. She's awesome. She got in touch with me to see if I wanted to check this out. I was like, oh yeah. I mean, right up my alley. And, crowned spine. Great jimping, cool kind of proprietary pivot. Looks a little different. Outstanding action. Something that Neve points out a lot is how early the detent ball is when you're closing it. And this is a very early detent ball, meaning you don't have to, it doesn't have to come all the way down to where it meets the detent ball and then pop over the ball to close. It's happening really early. By the time, you know, if you just drop it onto your thumb, it's already dropping in there. You got a deep carry pocket clip with recessed screws. That should be the standard now. I think everyone's working towards that. I think everyone's kind of selling through their old stock, and we'll be doing that in the future. I think it's just because everyone's complaining about it when the screws aren't recessed. Look at that angle. What a great, what a great knife this is. I do dig this. And I showed it to both my wife and my older daughter, Eden, and they both hated it. Actually, neither of them liked the blade shape, and they both took exception to the angle. And I said, girls, you don't know what you're talking about, girls. This is that angle's on purpose, girls. And that leaf-shaped blade, it's badass, girls. And they still didn't go for it, so it's all mine. I don't have to worry about them taking it. And a couple of here that we're going to look at have been summarily stolen from me by my wife because they're small, charming, and cute, and I want them back. But I have them back right now just for the purpose here. So we're going to get to that right now. Hey, you ever look for a knife for someone? Like not too long ago, I started managing one person at work and got that person a knife because there was an occasion when we were on a shoot and he didn't have a knife and he needed one. And then he didn't know how to close it, which I was like, come on, man. It's just look at it. Okay. But anyway, so I got him a Swiss Army knife. But I posited the question to the Thursday Night Knives crew, what should I get for this person? I heard a lot of different things. And we're going to talk about one of the most popular things that someone said was in this list. So we're going to get to that in a quick second. So let's take a look, shall we?
Visit the Knife Junkie at thenifejunkie.com to catch all of our podcast episodes, videos, photos, and more.
All right. Well, the first of the 10 best folders to buy a first-time knife owner might be a surprise. I don't talk about this knife much on this show, but it's the classic and venerable Buck 110. I also have the 112 here for size if the person likes something smaller. But this is the knife you get for that person that you think might equate weight and solidity for quality. I don't know if you've ever handed a heavy knife to a noob or someone who, I shouldn't use that term. I am not in my 20s. You ever hand a knife to someone who doesn't know much about knives and they're like, oh, heavy. You know, oh, that feels solid. That feels like a good knife. This knife would take care of that person because it is a good knife, but also it is a boat anchor. That's why it comes with great leather sheath. So does the 112 Ranger. It comes with a great leather pocket pouch that you can put on your belt. So these are great knives for people who live a lifestyle that they can walk around with a knife pouch. Now, I say that because I live in suburbia right outside of, you know, D.C., and you don't see too many people walking around with knife pouches. But as soon as you leave the coast or you go, you know, anywhere outside of areas like this, you see a lot of that. You see Leathermans on belts and you see Buck 110s, maybe less than you used to. But this is great for that. It's a classic. It's very sharp, hollow ground, 420 stainless steel, but it's with that heat treat that they do really well. So their 420 is like, you know, it's a great steel, and it has serviced people for years and years and years. But if that's not your bag, just know that a buck 110 can be had in many, 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 many flavors. This is just the bottom floor, the ground floor of Buck 110 and Buck 112. And when I got this was $40 at Walmart. This is now $60. Just looking it up and doing some research. And the 112, which is a shorter version of the same knife. And man, this is a very comfortable knife. I have a little quick stud on there. Very comfortable knife, very heavy. These things are definitely anchors. But great for that person who might equate weight with quality. Also, who doesn't love a beautiful, sharp, hollow ground blade? So that is a good one. Okay, next one is an actual first knife for an actual first-time locking folder owner, my daughter. And this is what I got her. The Gonzo Firebird. This is the FH11 for $22. FH11, that's D2 blade steel. That's actually, I think that's carbon fiber ply on G10. But for $22, who does care? Very nice cutting blade. Great jimping, great flipping action. This is really good for, I mean, Eden has been playing with knives for a while. She's pretty comfortable with it. And this is a good one for her. I actually gave it to her. I felt like maybe it was a little large. I could have gotten maybe something a little smaller, but she's gotten good with flipping this. But the thing I like about this is you get all of the luxury of a high-end knife with the caged bearings and the awesome action and the carbon fiber, at least in look, and the nice satin blade and the whole experience, the loop over pocket clip. But you get it for $22. It's very, very low commitment. And if you're getting the knife for someone you're not sure if they're going to carry or use, but you want to get them something that looks nice and is, you know, pretty a nice build, these Firebirds are good. These Gonzo Firebirds are good. Now, I don't think Gonzo anymore. I'm not sure. I shouldn't speak on this, but I do take exception to companies like Effengrau who just blatantly rip off, blatant ripoffs of other knives. They don't put the other knives branding on it. They're not clones, I guess, technically, but, you know, they look exactly like the Microtech they're copying or whatever. I don't like those companies. I know Gonzo used to do that a bit. I don't know if they do anymore. But Firebird seems to be their own independent line. And, yeah, good stuff coming out of there. If it's ethical for you. All right. So that's, Gonzo and Firebird. Next up, I have two options. They're both great and interesting, and they're both from high-end designers, but they're very inexpensive, and they're from CRKT. That's a great thing about CRKT. You're going to get, inexpensive versions of high-end designer knives. And this one is the, CEO from Richard Rogers. I'm going in reverse order. CEO from Richard Rogers. He's been on the show before. Great guy and designing some really amazing, knives that people, much in demand. And, this is the CEO. And as you can see, it is nice and thin and set up to be like, to look somewhat like a pen in the pocket. So this is, meant to be carried or, can be carried on the inside pocket of your blazer. Or even in your breast pocket of your shirt, if you're up for that. I don't really like too many things in my pockets. I don't like feeling my shirt sag down. So, but the inside pocket of a blazer would be perfect. In slack pants, it's very thin and very light. In slacks pants, it'd be excellent. Great action. You can even reverse flick it. That blade on this version is 8CR. But this also can be had in D2 and other steels. It's 3 1/4. And then this is GRN. Again, you can get this as exclusives from some purveyors I've seen it with brass, on the end there. And by the way, that reminds me of a doctor's knife a little bit, but brass on the end with micarta. So really nice knife. You can get this for someone who works in an office and might like knives, but it's very unthreatening. And it has a unique look. This is not the kind of knife that most people have seen before. So slender, but long and, kind of like a fruit knife too. All right. So we're going to a melon tester. That's what I was getting at. Melon tester. We'll leave that there for the CRKTs. Other kind of in the opposite direction, a little bit more of a bulbous design is that beautiful, look from Jesper Voxnes. This is the Pete. Also in GRN, handle scales, also very inexpensive, $33 for this. You get the beautiful Vox styling, a very purposeful and, well done drop point, nearly fully flat ground 8CR 13 MOV blade. And no, it's, not a premium blade steel, but it is 100% adequate, especially for a noob. I'm going to stop saying that, especially for a new knife owner. And someone who's just starting to carry pocket knives, this is great. It's got a classy design, very low commitment. If you lose this, it's $33. And of course, no one likes to lose even a $33 knife, but if you lose it, it's not the absolute end of the world. Got a nice anodized blue backspacer there. This was a gift to me from Christine of Women Carry Knives. I commented on her video about how I thought this was a charming little knife. And she sent it to me. I thought that was very nice. Thank you, Christine. Deep carry pocket clip, recessed screws, the whole nine yards. Sort of the opposite, spiritual opposite of the CEO. But both would be totally acceptable in pretty much any work or social situation. So great for a new first-time owner. Okay, this next knife is the knife that I would say was the overwhelming crowd choice when I placed this question to the Thursday Night Knives crowd. Said, I'm working with a new guy. I want to get him a knife. What should I get? I did end up getting him a Super Tinker from Swiss Army, from Victorinox. I just thought it was more his speed. But I got this more than anything else, the QSP Penguin. Another knife now that is very, very, very popular and comes in a million different colors, different flavors, I should say. This one is in that really cool denim micarta, but it comes in other micartas and G10s, and this is in D2 blade steel, comes in other steels. You can get it premium versions right now from traditionalpocketknives.com. They did those really cool jigged titanium frame locks with M390. I mean, people are just going nuts with this knife. You can see a little bit of patina around the knife clip, around the clip. You can see the patina is growing on this. This one's getting a lot of use. This one was the knife my wife was using during the IKEA builds, and she loved it. I said, you know, afterward, she asked for a knife because, we're having our bathrooms redone, and all of her knives are under a tarp on her dresser, blah, blah, blah. So I just gave her this, and I gave her this on purpose. I wanted to see what she thought of it. She loved it. She didn't say anything about it, but I said later, what did you think of the knife? Oh, I loved it. Perfect for her hand. She's petite. Perfect for her hand. And that Warncliffe blade, or that sheep's foot blade, just made quick work of the big fat cardboard boxes she was opening. So very, very cool. I love this thing. It is definitely grown on me. When I got it, it was kind of gritty and stiff, but it's become nearly drop shut. And I love washer action. I love washer knives. I think maybe we've gone a little too crazy with the ball bearings. Maybe we've spoiled ourselves a little bit. Maybe we should go back to a little bit more of this smooth washer action. This is like smooth, like Frank Sinatra smooth. The washer is Frank Sinatra smooth, and ball bearings are like Timothy Chalamet smooth. I know they're different genres and everything, but I'm just thinking of guys that my daughter's crush on, and he's so pretty, you know, and that's kind of like the ball bearing action. It's so pretty. It's so lovely and cultivated. But to me, sometimes I go for this kind of action. So what'll it be? Anyway, QSP Penguin, awesome knife. I would definitely, if you're going to get a locking folder for someone and they're first time owners, this is a great way to go, because I got to say, for someone who doesn't think about knives or consider them much, that is not a very scary or aggressive looking blade shape, as opposed to something like this, you know, which is sort of aggressive. Not that you would get this as a first time knife for anyone, but it's very unthreatening. It looks like a utility knife. So QSP Penguin, awesome, awesome knife. Now, spiritual cousin, I would say, just in the feel anyway, is the Rat 2. Love the Rat 2. I chose the Rat 2 over the Rat 1 because it's the smaller version. Of course, you can go up for the Rat 1, $31. It's still, for the Rat 1, which is, what, 3.75 or 3.6 inch blade, I believe it's like 37. So you're not going that much further. So the person has bigger hands or likes a bigger knife, go for that. But I love the charm and the action of my Rat 2. My Rat 1 has been in my car survival bag for so long, I've kind of forgotten I have it. And that thing has good action too. But this is such, and I love this. This one in particular was a gift from my daughter before my second daughter was born. This is an old one. And I affectionately call it Pinky Tuscadero. This was a back pocket knife for me for a long time. Pinky Tuscadero, Fonzie's girlfriend, always had a black skirt with a pink skirt with a black poodle on it. I've never liked pink. And then I had daughters and I started to, you know, like pink, especially with a black blade. So there you go. The Rat 2, amazing washer action on this. And no, it does not drop shut. It feels like a Sebenza. It's glass on glass oiled glass on glass smooth from just years of opening and shutting. And then it's got just great flicking out action. All right, next up, one of those knives that my wife sort of just assimilated into her life, and it sort of kind of disappeared from mine, is the Kershaw Leek. I love this thing, and when I got it, it was a $40 knife at Walmart. This is 14C28N, and that just gorgeous Warncliffe. I love this. This is another knife I forget about. I forget about how awesome the Leek is. And you could use this, the Leek. I think this is probably the most sellingest. That's not how you say it. This is the most popular knife, sold the most by Kershaw, I believe, is this Leek or the Leek. And it's got many different versions, many different, takes. This is just the standard. They have the Speed Safe, which on this knife, I don't mind. Of course, I'd love bearings better. But Speed Safe will do. And this is one of the few knives ever where I will opt for tip down, even though I have the tip up option, because so much of this hangs out of the pocket. Look at, so when you look at the blade here, let me close this. When you look at the pocket clip on this one, oops, sorry, put the blade in the pocket and you can see how high up it rides. Well, you switch it around and it's already mounted here. So you've got this much hanging out of the pocket. You have an inch, full inch. So I think most people, unless they get an aftermarket clip for this, most people opt for the tip down on this knife. But this is just a classic. That 14C blade is very thin and it's hollow ground. And it's just, I'm shocked that I never broke the tip on this. I used to carry this quite a bit. And then it's got this secondary lock to keep it from opening, because this would be a nasty one to have open in your pocket. Right next to the here, and then you just close that up there, and if you press on it, stops it from coming out. So just a really, really cool and classic knife from Kershaw, and would make an excellent first time knife. And the fact that it's all metal, it's aluminum and steel, would make it seem also for that crowd that likes the solid feel, and yet it's way smaller and lighter than the Buck 110. So, great choice. This one rides my wife's purse quite a bit. Next up, I'll show you two of them, because they come in at the same price, but depending on if this person is a large or a small knife person, you think. Okay, so first is the Civivi Elementum, probably one of the most highly recommended first knives out there. The Elementum comes in a million different colorways and materials. You can get it in a brass handle. This is a ebony wood handle. You can get it in all sorts of G10s and micartas. It comes in different sizes. Now it's even it's got two exclusive button lock versions that don't have detents, so you need the button to open and to open and close it. And it just comes in a million flavors. This is Civivi's Burnley Boker, or Boker Burnley Quaken. Super thin hollow grind. Just a great cutting knife. This is my wife's. I got her this for Christmas, I think last year. She babies this one. She doesn't carry it much. She's worried. That's ebony. She's kind of worried about scratching up the ebony wood, but I keep telling her that's what it's for. This one here is in D2, but you can get it in a bunch of different blades, steels. The new titanium button lock one is flat ground. Not sure why they did that when all of them are hollow ground. Anyway, this knife, this Elementum, starts at a base of 43. All the prices I'm putting up are the base. And you can go up from there, because you can get this with Damasteel and you can really go expensive with the Elementum. But at base, 43. At base, for the large Civivi, let's take a look at this one. This is a classic. It was one of their very first knives, one of the first three that they released, and I absolutely love it. This is an updated version without the goofy colored liners, and it is the Praxis. Big knife at 3.8 inches. What is this? 3.75, 3.8 inches. Wide blade. Also reminds me of a Barong. Flat ground. Very thin behind the edge. I mean, it's thin blade stock to begin with. Very broad blade, very high height grind. This may as well be hollow ground. It's so thin behind the edge. You could sharpen this way up and still have thin cutting geometry. I slept on this one for years and years, and then saw a couple of videos kind of talking about the classic Civivis and classic, that's funny. But Civivis from the very first generation of releases, and the Praxis kept coming up, and I was like, I gotta get that knife. And saw it in this beautiful wood and had to get it. I believe it's rosewood, like on the fretboard of a guitar. But they use another word, another wood called, that begins with a C that I can never remember. I always go towards the ham. I always call it Kurabuto, like the ham, but it's not. So these two knives can be had for $43 at base. They're from Civivi. Outstanding builds, very good heat treats on their steels. And this is a 9CR 18 MOV. Awesome, awesome action. Just addictive action. If you like to fidget, these are great. Having my wife's Elementum in hand, really, you know, I think I need to get the, or I think I would like to get the button lock version of this. Without the detent, that is a little annoying, but it's a button lock, so exclusively how you open and close it, but it's larger. It's got a 3.4 inch blade rather than this 3-inch blade, so I think I might get that at some point. Don't be surprised if you see it here on the channel. All right, so that's $43, and these are Civivis, a bit of luxury, you know, that you're getting for that first-time knife owner in a luxurious feel for not that much money, $43. Next up, sort of in the same line, because these were both the same thing. I'm going to do a large and a small option, both at $40, and very robust knives, and not without great design. Okay, so let's look at this one. This is the Kubi Vagrant. Just a premium feeling action here. Incredible detent and really great bearing action on this knife. But like, look at this. It is a three and a quarter inch perfect blade shape. And then if you don't like that, you can get the Warncliffe, which is just, or the Sheep's Foot, which just doesn't have this swale here, but has a very similar cutting edge. Okay, so the Kubi Vagrant comes in two different blade shapes, as I mentioned. This is the Warncliffe, comes in the Sheep's Foot, and it comes in about a million different handle material. Not materials, but colors of G10. And I shouldn't say a million. It, of course, is limited. But there's a wide variety of these Kubis to be had for your taste. This is Aus 10A blade steel. And I don't know much about Kubi's heat treating, but I do know that this knife works very well. So I'm assuming that their heat treat is pretty good, because this does not require, this does not dull out easily or quickly. And this has been only really used for cardboard and sandwiches. So yeah, Kubi Vagrant. Now next, this was the knife I carried, the only knife I brought with me to Atlanta for Blade Show, because I had to fly and I was worried about TSA stealing my knives. So I brought the Kubi Flash. Now this is a large Kubi. That's a 3.8 inch blade again. Very, very nice, Warncliffe-y, bellied Warncliffe. Some people call it a reverse tanto, but they're wrong. You got a large sharpening choil here that you can double as a finger choil if need be. But just the same sort of quality. This is D2. Same really excellent action, cool design, adequate materials. And by adequate, I mean, no one thinks G10 is luxurious. No one thinks D2 is luxurious, but it's what you do with those materials. Really excellent ergonomics. Lately, I've been very neutral ergonomics, but this is very comfortable. It positions the blade in a great way. This is a really good knife. It has a very good coating on the blade. I've used this for cardboard, not much, but it has not really fouled up the coating much that I can see. And $40, great knife, great knife. Probably for the first timer, you're going to go for the small one. But if the person is big or has big tasks at hand, this would make an excellent one. Both of these have the point down towards the knuckles more, placing the point in line for this kind of utility cut that a lot of people find themselves doing. I think for a first time user, that might be an important thing. That might be a useful thing, because a lot of us do this sort of pull cutting. All right, so that's Kubi. That was cool, wasn't it? I know. That's Kubi. and love those. They are a little bit, they feel a little bit more robust than the knives before them, the Civivis. And those Civivis feel a little bit more robust than the knife before them, the Kershaw Leek. But this knife feels a little bit more robust than the Kubis. And I can't have a list like this without talking about cold steel. So right here, I have the Cold Steel Voyager. Again, this is one for someone who has hard use in mind. They have a landscaping company, and they're constantly opening up bags of mulch, and they're out there in the muck and the mud, and they're cutting things all day long. This right here would be a great option, because now they're made in OS 10. This is an older one in OS 8A. But it's got the Triad Lock. It is a super performer. The Triad Lock is arguably the strongest lock out there. Who knows? Things might be changing, but very, 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 very strong back lock due to the fact that it takes all of the pressure on the back of the blade and puts it into that big, thick stop pin. And then that transfers into the frame of the handle and not the joint, not the connection between the blade and the lock bar. So awesome, awesome knives. These can be had for $60. These can be had in different blade shapes too. There's the Tanto, and you can get the drop point. They used to have this in the Vaquero, which, by the way, I'm getting mine back from my buddy Ian. I gave it to him years ago and came crawling back on bended knee. Can I please have it back? So I'm going to buy it back from him because they don't make those anymore. Very, very capable rope knife at $60. And this is the 4-inch. They have the 5.5-inch versions, the XLs, also sub 100, except for the drop point. Not sure why. And then they used to do the smaller versions at the 3-inch blade, but now you have to, I believe now you have to go on eBay to find those. They don't make that anymore. But the Voyager, awesome, awesome knife for a first-time user, because it's not going to break the bank, but it's going to give them years and years and years of use, and might inspire them to get more knives. That's what all of these are also aimed at doing. They're inexpensive enough that they're not going to break the bank if you're getting it as a gift to someone you love or like. But at the same time, it'll give them years of use if it's the only knife they ever end up getting, or it might inspire them to become a junkie themselves. Okay, last up, I want to talk about off-grid knives. They have so many under $100 that are unbelievably robust and addictive. They're all Best Tech made. We know how great Best Tech is. They're all with caged bearings. They all have amazing blade geometry. They're my favorite cardboard cutting knives. And I feel like this, the Enforcer at $60, and then you can go up with different versions, but I feel like the Enforcer of all of them would be the most universally appealing. There's the Cayman with that really extreme Bowie blade that I love, but it might be a polarizing design for some people. There's the Cleaver, which is the best cardboard knife ever, but it's weird. It looks like a cleaver, not maybe a first time knife buyer's for a knife. But this one has the non-threatening look of a utility knife. Though those of us in the know might look at this and find it very threatening. But something about having the tip down low makes it seem more like a utility knife, and that's something people are more used to. And it's also extremely useful to have the point there with that kind of cutting that I'm saying most of us do a lot of, that pole cutting. This one is out of D2. You can get, I'm not sure if it's still around, but they had a 154cm version. With really cool red streaked G10. So I think this is an awesome, awesome, option. Now, this is another one that my wife appropriated, from my collection, but I also think this would make a great first time, knife owner's knife, gift. And that's also the off-grid knives knife. It is also an off-grid knives knife, and it is the, mini Rhino, baby Rhino. So the big Rhino is one of my favorites. It's 3.75-inch blade. It's a big work knife. This is a small version of it, and it is a successful shrinking down by a percentage. What do I mean by that? Sometimes when you make a knife smaller, like take the Endura, when you make the Endura into the Delica, you don't just shrink it down. in the shrinkulator machine. You gotta reconfigure the choils and make it make sense in a smaller format for the same size hand. Well, for this knife, it just so happened to work that they could just shrink this down because it looks exactly like a small version of the big one. Like none of these proportions have changed, including the thickness. This is exactly as thick as its much, much bigger brother. And that's what makes this a successful micro knife. This is a three-handed knife, or three-handed. Got your three hands ready? This is a three-fingered knife. My pinky is hanging off the end, but that full thickness at 0.6 inches thick makes this a very sure in-hand knife. This is the recipe. If you're going to make a micro knife and you want it to be able to be used hard, you make it full thickness. This is a stroke of genius. I love this knife. And plus, it's got the addictive action of those cage bearings, that Best Tech build, and one of the best flipper tabs of all time. I love this rounded off, fully gemmed flipper tab. If you're only listening to this, imagine a flipper tab that comes up from the spine of the handle with parallel lines, and then it has a semicircle on top, and the whole thing is gemmed. Anywhere you grab it, it's going to actuate perfectly. All right, so those are the knives, the best gift knives. Just as an addendum, here would be two great and inexpensive slip joint style knives, non-locking knives you might want to get, like the Case, any other CV knives, that's the chrome vanadium. They do a great job with those. This Kudu is a non-locking knife, $15, very capable, even though 5CR steel. And then fixed blade knives, the SR, Survival Rescue, the SRK from Cold Steel makes an excellent one fixed blade for a first timer because it can be used survival, self-defense, all sorts of things. Same thing goes for the Off-Grid Grizzly. Can be used as a woods knife, can be used as a kitchen knife, great camp knife. Just a great one knife gift for a first time user. Oh, you're going camping? I got a great knife for you. Boom. They have it. They have it the rest of their lives. Or it starts something and they become knife junkies. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining me on this journey through new knifedom. I used the word noob a number of times. I don't approve of that. I'm going to cut that from my vocabulary. I just want you all to know that since I made it public, it's got to be 10 best folders. Let me know what you think are the 10 best folders that you could give to someone, or you don't have to give me 10, but list, tell me what you think is a good first knife. I would have to say probably of all of them, that QSP Penguin is what we're going to hear most of. Okay, join us on Sunday for episode 340 of the Knife Junkie Podcast when I talk with my good friend Dave Everett, This Old Sword Blade Reviews. We go through his the new knives in his collection. We talk philosophy. We get deep. He's a brilliant guy and a wonderful practitioner of the Filipino martial arts as well as like curator of a museum of knives in his own basement. All right, thanks for joining me on the Knife Junkie Podcast. Thanks to Jim for working his magic. And be sure to check us out on Patreon where you get a lot more. All right. Again, for Jim working his magic, I'm Bob saying until next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to Bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487 and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.